Good evening. I'd like to welcome all of you tonight to the political forum for the Quorum Court and City Council candidates. I am Heather Loftus with KTLO Classic Hits in the Boot, and it is my pleasure to guide you through this important event where we'll hear from the individuals running to represent and serve our community. This forum provides a valuable opportunity for all of us to learn more about each candidate's vision, priorities, and plans for our local government. We want to extend a special thank you to our sponsors, Raps Baron Brewery and H&R Block, for their support in making tonight's forum possible. We are broadcasting live on KTLO FM 97.9, streaming live at KTLO.com, and on Facebook Live. For those in attendance, we encourage you to submit your written questions for the candidates throughout the forum. Lastly, I would like to take a moment to thank the candidates for being here and sharing their time with us. Your willingness to step up and serve our community is truly appreciated. First of all, I had invited Lindsay Roberts here tonight. Of course, Lindsay is our election coordinator for Baxter County. They've been doing testing all day long, and she was unable to attend. But she did provide some information with you, and I'd like to share with you her email she sent me. Early voting begins October 21st at First United Methodist Church and ends November 4th. Election Day is November 5th at various voting centers around our county. Arkansas offers absentee ballots by mail to voters who will be unable to vote in person. If anyone is interested, they can visit the clerk's office or go to www.baxtercountyar.gov. The Quorum Court is a group of elected officials, justice of the peace, responsible for the county finances, ordinances, and county affairs. City Council is a group of elected officials who govern a city by making decisions about city laws, ordinances, city finances, and city projects. To vote for Justice of the Peace, you must reside within the district lines the candidate is running for. To vote for City Council, you must reside within the city limits and can vote for all council races. When voting, it is important to remember you don't have to vote for your entire ballot. You can skip voting on specific candidates and amendments if you are unsure about them. Voters are required to show an Arkansas state or federal ID to vote. To view your ballot, you can visit voterview.ar-vova.org/voterview. If that's too much for you to remember, you can check it out at Election Central on KTLO.com. Now it's time to hear from our Quorum Court candidates. Each candidate will have 1 minute to give an opening statement to introduce themselves and share their key priorities. We have three races to cover as part of our forum tonight, and we will start with District 2. Incumbent Angela DeGroot did not seek re-election. First, we had planned on hearing from Quorum Court Republican District 2 candidate Mike McDonald, but he is not here with us at this time. So we'll go on to Mr. Johnny Rickman, Democrat for District 2. Sir?
I'm Johnny Rickman. I'm running for Democratic position for JP. I'm originally from Jonesboro, retired firefighter, a retired fire chief. My wife and I owned a business in Jonesboro, Action Logistics, Action Manufacturing Services. Can you hear me now? Sorry about that. I don't want to kiss it.
You should.
No. Is that better?
Yeah.
All right. Did you hear what I said first? Okay. I'm Johnny Rickman. I'm from Jonesboro. I'm a retired firefighter. I spent 2 years as a fire chief at Highland. And my wife and I own several businesses in Jonesboro. We owned Action Manufacturing Services, Action Logistics, which was a warehousing and trucking industry. And we retired. She's a retired school teacher or librarian. We moved up here about 11 or 12 years ago, and I'm interested in where I'm at, so I need to get involved. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next, we'll hear for District 3, the incumbent Republican, Mr. Rick Steiner.
Thank you, KTLO and H&R Block and Raps Baron for providing this. My name is Rick Steiner, and I'm married to Melissa Steiner, have one adult son. I've been in this community for a long time. I'm a graduate of Mountain Home High School, member of the United Methodist Church, and active member of the Rotary Club. I'm honored to serve as your Justice of Peace for District 3, Baxter County, As your incumbent, I've worked hard to uphold the community's conservative values while ensuring responsible governance that prioritizes fiscal accountability and the safety of our neighborhoods. I believe in being a voice for our district, making decisions that reflect the will and best interests of the people, and I'm running for re-election because there's still important work to be done, and I'm committed to continuing that work with your support. Thank you.
The Democratic challenger, Mr. Donnie Huffine, is out of the country on a previously planned trip prior to the announcement of this forum. He has asked that Ms. Mary O'Shields read a statement on his behalf. Ma'am?
Okay. Hi. Please accept, I'm reading this in the first person, obviously. Please accept my apologies for not attending this forum in person. I had a prior family commitment to attend. I plan to give my response to all questions asked on my social media page, and Mary has information available on how to access my campaign page along with my personal phone and email. My name is Donnie Huffine, and I am running for the office of Justice of the Peace in Baxter County, District 3. I've always been a team player. I'm no stranger to hard work and making difficult decisions. Before I retired, I was on someone's payroll since the age of 8. I started as a paperboy, delivering a daily paper to the folks in my community. I have been a shop manager with 120 employees and 5 supervisors with an annual budget of over $25 million, so I know how to manage the needs of employees and to spend money efficiently. I ended my career as a manufacturing engineer with a skill set for getting jobs done and goals accomplished. My wife, Glenda, and I will celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary this December. We have 3 daughters and 3 granddaughters, so I am well aware of the struggles of working people trying to support a family. As wonderful as Baxter County is, we have issues that we need to work together to find solutions for. We need to secure good paying, environmentally clean jobs for our youth and surrounding communities. We need to address the high cost of housing, homelessness, food insecurity, the suicide rate, work on drug prevention, and our role in mitigating climate change. We also need to take a hard look at building a new, energy-efficient county government and law enforcement complex to better serve our growing community. If elected, I look forward to working with the county judge, elected county officials, and members of the Quorum Court to maintain a safe and prosperous working environment for all county employees and first responders while applying my skill sets to properly maintain the assets, roads, bridges, and equipment of Baxter County. If you want a hardworking, qualified individual as District 3 Justice of the Peace, please vote for me on November 5th. I am a workhorse, not a party pony. Thank you, Donnie Huffine.
All right, we'll use that as both the opening and the closing statement. Thank you very much. Now we'll move on to District 7, Republican Bob Nault versus Democrat Derek Huber. The incumbent, Dr. Charles Osgood, lost the Republican primary. Mr. Nault, we'll start with you.
Okay, my name is Bob Nault. I moved here approximately 41 years ago. We started a business called RBC Incorporated. I sold half my business, went to worked for the county for 20 years. I was a blacktop foreman, I was assistant road foreman, and I was superintendent. I got my C license, which is a master license for the landfill, so if something comes up at the landfill, I can help out there, know the situations. I just know just different things. I like to serve the county, and I like to come and serve you. Basically, that's what I got.
Thank you. Mr. Huber.
I got nervous.
My name is Derek Huber. I'm very excited about this race. I'm excited to be here. I'm thankful that we get this opportunity to answer your questions, and I'm thankful that you get this opportunity to vet your candidates. I grew up over in Fulton County, Arkansas, in a little bitty place called Viola. That's where I graduated high school at, graduated with about 36 people over there. Went to work on the railroad, traveled around for a few years, decided that was pretty tough work, being on call all the time. Made my big journey and my move across the lake and came over here to Mountain Home. And I've been a resident of Baxter County pretty much ever since. So I attended university over here, did all 4 years through ASU Mountain Home, and was able to attain my business degree locally. I've worked in the community through various projects. I managed a series of health and fitness gyms for a long time until eventually I pursued entrepreneurship. I started a media company here that's now in its 6th year of operation. I'll be going into our 7th year soon. The name of that company is Huber Media Co. And we have brought a lot of firsts to the area. We've won awards on our work on economic development, as well as we produced the first VR film in Arkansas. If elected, I'll be the youngest JP, which I think is significant. And I appreciate you taking time to consider me today.
Finally, let's get to some questions. This question is for each of you. Mr. Steiner, I'll start with you. If elected, for you, if reelected as JP, what do you think your role in county government should be?
The duties and responsibilities of the Quorum Court include caretaker of the county's assets and budgets. This is accomplished through passing ordinances and resolutions. So we have a great working Quorum Court at this time, and I think we're making progress.
Mr. Huber.
Being accessible and keeping a working ear to the ground is the thing that I'm hearing most. People want to know that they can contact their JPs and that they can be heard.
Mr. Nault.
Yeah, I look forward to working with the other JPs and the county judge and working on the issues of the county. And then again, I agree that letting the people know the issues and listening to the people.
Mr. Rickman.
I agree with all what they said, but also too is, like I say, I've been here 11 years. And I've had yet to see a JP come to our area at any of the fire stations and put on a town hall meeting, let them know what's going on. I mean, there's a lot of people that I've talked to in District 2 that don't know anything about what's Quorum Court's going on unless they hear it on the radio or see it in the paper. And now we only get 2 days of paper, that's kind of hard to do. So, you know, that's one issue I'd like to get right there.
Mr. Rickman, this question is also for you. In our fast-changing world, do you think Baxter County is falling behind, advancing, or keeping the status quo? Please defend your answer.
Well, it depends. There's a lot of categories you can put that in. A lot of the areas we're falling behind. One of them is economic development, and that's a big end. That, to me, is a barometer of a community, is what we're doing in economic development. And this needs to be addressed sometime or another, and hopefully real soon. But another thing, too, is coming up that's really concerning me is that OSHA, which is Occupational Health and Safety Administration, have changed the procedures and their guidelines and their updating of their equipment in the fire departments. If the proposals they presented right now, if it goes into effect, there will not be a rural fire department in Baxter County or probably in the state of Arkansas or throughout the United States, because their guidelines are set to where it's going to be hard for a full paid department to set them. So, you know, that, like Clark Ridge, is they've got a number 4 classification. And that means that our insurance is based on what that classification is, your homeowner's insurance. And the higher or the lower your classification in your fire district, like a 1 is the best you can give, 10 is the worst. It's just like not having one. If you get into the 10, you don't have any discounts on your insurance because you don't have a fire department, and your insurance is going to go up. And this is going to affect everybody in the state of Arkansas, everybody in the United States, if the proposals they've put out right now stands, and we won't know where we're at until after the first of the year.
For each of you, I'll give you a moment to respond to that question if you would like. Is Baxter County falling behind, advancing, or keeping the status quo?
I think they're kind of keeping the status quo, but I think infrastructure is going to be where we're going to be lacking at because of the growth of Baxter County, and that's where I think we're going to need help in the future.
Yeah, I would say throughout the 2010s we were falling behind. I think there's been a lot of course correcting, most significantly starting with the formation of Baxter County Forward. I think in early 2019 there was concerns. Through 2010 and 2019, Baxter County was basically at a point of stagnation, almost losing population, much to the alarm of a lot of our local employers, and most specifically our health care, which is one of the big draws for retirees here, and what adds so much to our quality of life. And so what we learned is there's a lot of things that happen in our community, whether it's recruiting physicians, teachers, law enforcement to the area, whatever those critical positions are, that actually will play out in Quorum Court. Things that Bob actually mentioned, one of those being infrastructure. So it's important that we get behind that and support that, and I'll stop there.
Mr. Siner?
I feel that we're advancing. We've had some great strides in our jail. We've done a jail expansion that has made that facility very nice, and we're constantly working on the roads. The storm, they had a big storm come through, and that really set some labor restraints. Those guys spent a lot of time working on storm damage, and we've made some improvements in our HR department at the courthouse as far as staff. So I think everything's running smooth, and we are advancing.
Mr. Siner, we'll keep it with you for this question. What would be a legacy project that you would like to see completed that would have a positive impact on the citizens of Baxter County for years to come?
That would be the new health unit that's currently under construction. We've needed that for a long time. Judge Liddy put some things together, and we used some COVID money to make that happen. That's been needed for a long time, and it's currently being constructed, and that'll be here for years to come.
I interview Judge Liddy often, and every time I speak to him, he talks to me about the health department.
Way to go, Judge.
This question is for Mr. Nault and Mr. Huber. What do you see as the biggest needs or concerns for our county at this time? Mr. Huber, your answer first.
I think the biggest needs and concerns, I started to mention them in my last statement there. You know, we started to course correct in 2019. So the county has a lot of things going for it. We're doing a lot of things now that we weren't even doing 1 or 2 years ago. I'm sure there'll be questions about the budget surplus come up. That's also something we're enjoying that's relatively new, at least for the amount that it is. I think the important thing is that we keep leaning into the professionals, listening to the experts that have helped us get here, that have helped us to make these course corrections. Whatever it is that we need to do, whether it's as simple as just talking about the continuation of broadband expansion, or something a little more complicated like multifaceted economic development programs or grants, that will be the key to us creating sustainable growth here.
Well, what I think, I just go back to infrastructure, and in the future, that's what we're going to have here with the growth that we're having. And with the roads that we got, we have really good roads and stuff at this point in time. Mm-hmm. But we're going to have to grow. We're going to have to look at the plans, even with county roads, state roads, and so forth.
This question is for each of you again. What specific strategies will you implement to enhance communication and transparency between the Quorum Court and Baxter County residents? Can you provide specific examples of how you would engage with the community to gather feedback on issues that matter to them and ensure their voices are heard in local government decisions? Mr. Rickman, I'll start with you.
Well, one is, like I say, I think a JP order, if you're going to represent somebody and you're elected to do it, you need to represent them and you need to go to where they're at. Everybody can't go to a Quorum Court meeting, and everybody's not going to be listening to the radio or anything like this. Like I say, we're down to a two-day a week newspaper now. So I think it's incumbent upon all the JPs to be going to their districts. I mean, every one of them's got a fire department or a meeting place or something like that where they can call a meeting and go to. And I think that's where we're really falling out is because we're not – the people in your districts are not keeping up with what's going on with the lack of communications. Own part of that is the JP's doing it.
Mr. Siner?
As far as accessibility, I mean, we have email and telephones available to that, and I'm always looking for feedback. The Quorum Court members only do resolutions and ordinances, and we work mainly on the budget. So there's not that much to do. I mean, I'm here. So, I mean, people reach out to me all the time. And sometimes about things that I don't have any control over, like mowing ditches and paving roads. But I can get them to the right people. I have a network of knowing where to take those needs and get them solved.
Mr. Nault?
Well, for one, I'd like to organize what I've been finding out now. And I've been talking to people in the district. They don't even know they can call a Quorum Court member. So what I'd like to do is get organized once a quarter and talk to the people, and if there's an issue, and have key people in the district where I could get a hold of, and they can get a hold of us, and we can have a meeting and talk about it.
Mr. Huber.
Yeah, actually, I agree with Bob. You know, I've spent time talking to people in District 7, and that is the sentiment, as I stated earlier. The most important duty, if you will, spoken, written, or not, is to have that ear to the ground. And I think that's the biggest concern, is that people want to feel not just that they can contact you, but if that they contact you, that you're going to write them back and not wait 7 days or 10 days or just forget them altogether. It's 2024. I have some handouts right there at that table next to my beautiful wife. And I put my cell phone on there. And I encourage you on there to text me. That's going to be on your door if you're in my district. There's really no excuse anymore for a lack of communication or an exchange of ideas between elected officials and their constituents. It's really, really popular to use social media and all these mass forms of communication while you're campaigning, but not so much when you're actually elected. And I work in media for a living. I own a media company. Communications is my absolute strongest strength. And it's something that I would bring to this every day. Number one, just by not hiding from those social media interactions, not hiding from trying to hide my phone number from the public. I'm here. You know, I wanna hear from you, because if I don't hear from you, I'll never know what it is that is the most important thing for us to focus on.
This is another question submitted for each of you to answer. Mr. Huber, I'll start with you this time. What strategies do you propose to stimulate economic development and job creation in Baxter County?
You know, we have to be a good listener. When we have people come forward that work with the AEDC, the Arkansas Economic Development Commission, when we have those people come to court and they speak, they're giving us facts, statistics, case studies. There's 70 other, there's tons of other counties and other states that we can look at for case studies. We're always kind of trying to reinvent the wheel, I feel like. But the main thing that we have to remember is JPs are not the professionals. We're not supposed to come in here with a big platform and a list of strategies. What we're supposed to do is come in here knowing who to go to with the right questions. So if it's questions about economic development, I'm going to go to the Economic Development Commissioners. I'm going to go to Ms. Pugsley over there at the Chamber of Commerce. I'm going to talk to Russell with the North Arkansas Economic Alliance. I'm going to go to the people who have dedicated their lives to studying this and not try to come up with something just so I can put my name on it.
Mr. Nault?
Well, that's a really tough question, because jobs, we don't create jobs. But two, I'm with Derek on that. You get a hold of the people, the right people, talk to the county judge, see what direction you got to go, and listen to the people.
Mr. Steiner?
Okay, I've been here since the 70s, and this place is definitely built on tourism, but we've also become a retail center. And expanding the retail, there are some retail expansions that are in the works, and we have some big events that are happening here, and we have more. I mean, we just had one this past weekend that was outstanding. We have Red, White, and Blue. We have fireworks at the lake. We've had the mountain bikes. The college is adding events, and when the aquatic center comes on, there'll be more events there. So all of that is not really just tourism, but those events, the school sports and all that, so all that builds the economy.
Mr. Rickman.
Let me ask the question. Do y'all know what economic development is?
For those on the radio, nobody has answered their hand, so there you go, sir.
Economic development covers more than just infrastructure. I mean, it has to deal with your schools, the training of employees, parks, recreation. Everything that goes on in the community is more or less economic development in one sense. And that's going to be the key. If Baxter County wants to grow, it's going to be through economic development and tourism. And tourism is part of economic development. But economic development is going to take us where we want to go, if you want to go there. That's the big question is, does Baxter County want to go there?
Mr. Steiner, with rising housing costs, what is your vision for affordable housing in Baxter County?
I don't know how the quorum court can control that, because the market seems, interest rates and the market seems to affect pricing, and then the interest rates affect payments. There's been a lot of developments. I know when my son interned with the mayor, there was a development that was pitched. He was with the mayor when they came through and said, oh, this will be for young housing. When it all got built, it was 55 and over, and he said they didn't build anything for the young people here. So that's hard to control. That's hard for the government to control that, because we don't build that.
It's hard to create jobs if those people don't have a place to live. So
yes.
Mr. Nault, Do you believe it is a responsibility of the Quorum Court to promote tourism and enhance Baxter County's appeal to visitors?
Yes, I do. I think that's a big, important thing for our lakes and everything. And the Quorum Court should come up with something and promote it and do something good with it.
This question is for each of you again. Mr. Rickman, I'll start with you. One of the largest departments of the county is the Sheriff's Department. Our sheriff runs a no-frills jail, no TV, beans and cornbread every day kind of place. Do you believe this is a good thing?
Yeah, in one sense, I do. I can't agree with it 100%, but I'll go with that.
Mr. Steiner.
I think the sheriff's doing an outstanding job. We've sampled that food at some of his open houses, and I think it's doing just fine.
Mr. Nault?
Yes, I think we got a great sheriff's department, and I agree with everything that he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Huber?
The question is about food. I grew up eating a lot worse. Is that what you asked about the food?
No, sir. I asked about the sheriff's department.
Yes. Repeat the question.
One of the largest departments of the county is the sheriff's department. Our sheriff runs a no-frills jail, no TV, beans and cornbread every day kind of place. Do you believe this is a good thing?
Okay. I like beans and cornbread. I ate a lot worse growing up. So, yeah, I think it's a good thing. I don't see any reason to go looking to inflate the budget. What I believe on an operations level is I believe in doing what works. So if they're producing annual reports, I know, Sheriff Montgomery obviously has had the answer for his tenure. If they're doing what works, then they're doing what works. And I don't much have, concerns in micromanaging the operations of any department.
This question is also for each of you. Mr. Nault, I'll start with you this time. The other largest department is Road and Bridge. Infrastructure is critical for our county. What projects over the next few years could be most beneficial for us?
Well, of course, the roads are the most important thing. And we got a good crusher now. And so the gravel roads are actually in pretty good shape that we got. But there's more roads that we got that the county judge can repair. He doesn't have the budget for it. So the one thing we'd like to see is to increase the road and bridge budget for the roads so he could do actually more roads to help the people out here.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Huber?
From what I'm seeing, the department's operating on budget right now. I look to see if they request an increase. As Mr. Lydia said in an interview with you last week, actually, that it's been a tough year. We've had the tornadoes come through. He's got two, hoping to get three crews on that, while simultaneously trying to repair roads on the east side and I believe the north side of the county. So it's an extreme challenge, although things seem to be operating, as he put it, things are operating smoothly. As Mr. Nault said, and as I've said throughout, I think the main thing is I want to hear from the people in the department. And what I've learned from previous forums, those of you that have sat here in the past, is really getting down in there and talking to those graders, talking to the equipment operators and listening to the people on the front line just as much as we're listening to the department heads and also seeking counsel from our county judge.
Mr. Rickman, the county has experienced a budget surplus for the last few years. I said each of you would have a chance for that question. So let me go back. Our Road and Bridge Department is, of course, one of the largest, so I want to make sure I give everyone the equal opportunity for that. So, Mr. Rickman, I'll go back to that question. The other largest department is Road and Bridge. Infrastructure is critical for our county. What projects over the next few years could be most beneficial?
I guess they're doing some blacktopping on some roads and everything. I noticed one out in my district been blacktopped in the last couple of weeks and everything. The roads are in pretty good shape. I got to say one thing, my road gets graded once a year, regardless of whether we need it or not. So that's where we're at on my end of it. So I don't have any qualms but right now. And I don't know exactly what the budget or what they've got in mind for the next couple of years to do. So until I find out what they've got in mind, I'm not going to comment on it right now.
Mr. Steiner.
I think they have a good team out there, and I think it's running smoothly. I know they have goals, but roads are a moving target. The weather and extreme weather like we've had this spring sets everything back as far as manpower and some money. That's everybody wants their road gold-plated, but it can't happen everywhere. But I think they're doing a great job. I think their budget's in good shape. They're getting what they asked for, and they've got a good team out there, and it's running smooth.
All right. I apologize for my flub there, gentlemen. All right, toss-up round. I've got some questions that have been submitted from the audience, and the rest of them have been directed to you, so I'll let anyone go first on this one. So the first question, the county has experienced a budget surplus for the last few years. It is projected that the total of that surplus will exceed $11 million by the end of 24. Do you know what the county has done with this money up to this point, and how do you think it should be invested going forward? Who wants the first stab at this one?
I'll take it.
Okay. Mr. Huber?
Yeah, it's exciting. This is really exciting. This is a good position to be in, and these are fun conversations to have. You know, I've spent a considerable amount of time talking to leaders throughout the community, certainly those who have worked in tourism, who talk about the flood, basically, that we have had of people incoming since we've experienced COVID. We've seen great numbers collections in sales tax. I think the biggest mistake that we could do would be to avidly look things to spend the surplus on, especially before hearing about these budget requests. As we've heard, you know, we might have some request increases. So what industry is saying is that if you base everything off of these high water marks that we've had the past few years, that you're asking for a disaster. So just because we've had a couple of good years, and we have, we can't pretend or assume that is going to happen. So we need to celebrate that surplus. We need to look for the most efficient ways to use that, and one of the most efficient ways is going to be to preserve a big chunk of that to make sure that this is something that we're going to continue to ride through this decade.
Yeah. Mr. Nault?
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment on that. I'd like to see in the contingency fund, and start a contingency fund and put enough money in there in case we have a disaster where the county judge could actually have some funds to finance it and not have to wait for FEMA. And we all know how FEMA is right now.
The governor calls that the rainy day fund.
Yes.
So. Mr. Rickman?
That's what I was fixing to ask, if the county had a rainy day fund. Is this on top of the rainy day fund, or is this the rainy day fund?
We've got the judge in the audience. May I ask you, sir, do we have a rainy day fund?
Okay.
For those on the radio, the judge answered that excess would probably most likely be our rainy day fund at this time. Mr. Steiner, do you have a comment on this one?
I was going to say the last time we had this candidate forum at KTLO, I did mention that I thought we should have a rainy day fund, and now we do.
We didn't have any money then.
No, but we do now, $11 million.
Another question that was received from the participants here. Near Danfoss, there is a lot of open land. I heard they can't grow in that area because of the utilities and are unable to handle the growth. Can anyone address that question?
What area?
Near Danfoss.
201 South Spur.
Mm-hmm.
That's Aeroquip.
Mm-hmm.
From what I've seen in the past, when we've had, if we have an application for big industry, I think the chamber, utilities will come. If there's a need, utilities can get there. That's not at the end of the world.
Yeah, and forgive me, that's the Entergy side of town as well. That is not North Arkansas Electric.
I don't think Entergy's against growth.
I don't think they are either. So I don't know, though. I don't know the answer to that question. So we can do our research on that and maybe follow up on that. Another question submitted. I would like to ask each current member of the quorum court, I have been to at least 3 or 4 meetings. Why does it always seem that every vote is unanimous?
We all get along.
Mr. Steiner, any more to that question? You're the only city member, so I've...
Yeah, really pointed, isn't it? Well, we do get along, and I can't have any FOIA violations, so I just don't want to say anything.
Can I comment on that?
Yes, sir.
Well, what I think is a lot of it, when they have their meetings like the quorum court with the budget committee or whatever committee that they're in, they make a decision in that meeting and they bring it to the court and they get a vote on it. And if they agree, then it's all good.
I agree with what he's saying. Most things are hashed out in the committee meetings, and committee meetings are open. I attend the committees I'm on. I attend those meetings, and I attend the other ones as just a spectator in the audience. And the press is there, and there are normally people that are involved in that particular area, whether it's economic development or legislative. All those meetings are open, and a lot of stuff is hashed out in the committee meetings. When the committee comes back with a due pass recommendation, the quorum court does what they say if they feel they're right.
All right, I'm going to move on to the last question that we've received. In these times of economic distress, what are your plans for fiscal responsibility at the local level? Please be specific, as our area must stop all the spending unless absolutely necessary. We must concentrate on needs, not wants. Who would like to respond first to this? Mr. Nault?
Yeah, I believe in needs and not wants, and every budget should be accounted for, and it should be looked at, and wasteful money, wasteful spending is not good. So we got to look at our needs and not our wants, just like you said.
I'll go next.
Mr. Huber?
Yeah, the key word for me really comes down to operations and efficiency. So I went to business school here in Mountain Home, like I said, and that's really what you're taught. If you're a student of operations management, then you're always looking for efficiency, whether that's in a system, a process, or a budget. So I think in terms of how do you save money without hurting anything, then you look for those areas of efficiencies. That's one of those things I pride myself on, or that I get really excited about. Well, Huber Media Co. is primarily a media company, but we also get hired for consulting and to install management information systems from time to time. So that's one of the things I actually do, is look at large sets of data or large moving parts and try to determine, is there anything in this system or process that we can streamline or that we can remove? Doesn't mean we spend more money, doesn't mean we have to make any huge changes, but sometimes small operational changes can lead to huge spendings year after year. I think somebody with that mindset on the quorum court to look at that budget would be a real asset to this community, certainly to whoever asked the question.
Mr. Rickman?
I'd like to say one thing on that. A lot of it depends, too, is on what kind of return we're going to get on our money we spent and everything. You know, I'm not saying throwing that money out there, but I'm looking at something. If something comes up and we're going to have to spend a chunk of change on, we need to look at it and see if it's going to be cost productive and everything, and are we going to get a long-term return on our investment on it. That's going to be a big key coming in the future, is what kind of return we're going to get on our money.
Gentlemen, it's time for closing statements. Mr. Rickman, I'll start with you again. You're at the front of the table for our listeners on the radio. That's why he's always first in my line of sight. But we'll go with you. Of course, you're the Democratic candidate for District 2, Quorum Court, Mr. Johnny Rickman.
I pretty much said all I got to say and everything. You know, it's a new world we're in, I guess, and everything. We're getting challenges every day, different things, different technologies. And like I say, I'd like to see Baxter County move ahead. We're doing real good. I'd like to see it continue that way, and I'd like to be part of it. Thank you.
Mr. Steiner, incumbent for District 3, Republican.
My current serving on the quorum court, I am on the Budget Committee, the Legislative Committee, and the Environmental Committee. As your current Justice of the Peace, I have always put the needs of our community first, from maintaining a balanced budget to supporting our local law enforcement. I remain dedicated to serving with integrity and transparency and the conservative principles that have guided me in this office. I ask for your vote so we can keep District 3 in Baxter County moving forward together. Thank you for your consideration.
For District 7, Republican Mr. Bob Nault.
Well, for one, I really appreciate you having us here tonight. Of course, I'm a little bit nervous speaking, but one thing, I really want to listen to the people and take the people. And I've been telling them, the hardest thing I'm going to have to do is vote against myself. And that it really is going to be the hardest thing I'll have to do. And I really would like to work with the quorum court and the county judge, and I really appreciate your vote.
Very good. Mr. Derek Huber.
Well, I'm just excited. You know, there's so much in politics that's downtrodden and that feels negative and feels like a dark cloud over us. However, I can tell you that in District 7, when you go cast your vote, whether you cast that vote for myself or Bob, you're casting your vote for a man who I know loves his community and wants what's best for it. That's not something that we can always say with pride, but I'm beaming with pride. I'm beaming with pride for the answers that we've had up here, and that I know that you have a tough choice to make because you have two good candidates. I hope the questions that I've answered have given made a case for myself as to why I think I'm the strongest candidate, or why I think I'm the best fit for the position. I look forward to hearing from you. I do have a website. It is huber4arkansas.com. As I've said, I want to be super accessible. So if you don't want to email me and you don't want to text me, go to the website. There's a form on there, and I'm pretty much an open book on there. You can learn more about me, and I just look forward to hearing from you and look forward to November 5th.
On behalf of H&R Block, Raps Baron, KTLO Classic Hits in the Booth, this is Heather Loftus, and I appreciate all of our candidates for the Quorum Court coming out to join us tonight. We're going to take a quick break and come back with our candidates for the Mountain Home City Council. You're listening to KTLO. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to the Mountain Home City Council Forum, hosted live at Raps Baron Brewery here in downtown Mountain Home in the Entertainment District. This is Heather Loftus broadcasting live. I'd like to thank H&R Block for sponsoring our event tonight. We've got for you guys on the radio, we've got a room full of people and concerned voters who are hoping to become more informed, and we hope that all the information provided here tonight will help you. Again, early voting starts here in just a couple weeks, and Election Day is Tuesday, November 5th. We'll go ahead and get started with our candidates for the Mountain Home City Council. First, for Ward 1, Position 1, we have the incumbent, Mr. Bob Van Haren, and his challenger, Ms. Paige Wolf. Each candidate will be provided a one-minute opening statement. Mr. Van Haren, as the incumbent, I will start with you.
First of all, I want to thank H&R Block, Raps Baron, and KTLO for providing this for our community. There's a lot of times when folks can't get out and see this, so there's a lot of fortunate ways, thanks to technology, they're able to grab that. And I'll just start off really simple. I was born right here in Mountain Home, Arkansas, 1974. So I've seen a lot of changes in this community, through the schools, through the city, through the whole area. So if you're looking for somebody that's experienced with the area, experienced with the growth of the area, I'm your candidate for that. Also, I'm a great listener. I've been listening to people for the last three terms I've had on City Council. Fortunately, I'm Ward 1, Position 1, which allows me to be at the top of the list. And I get a lot of calls from all over the city, and I've been able to help a lot of different people when they call. So I just appreciate your vote and look forward to this debate.
And the Ward 1, Position 1 challenger, Ms. Paige Wolf.
Thank you very much. Thank you for this opportunity. Yes, my name is Paige Wolf, and born and raised in a very, very small town in Vermont. Spent most of my adult life out west. Been in the restaurant business, grew up in it, had my own restaurant in Wyoming. And my partner and I moved here about 3.5 years ago. I always live where it's pretty, and this is a beautiful place. I would like to keep it a good down-home community. Even though we rely so much on tourism, the community does come first. We want to keep everybody here happy. And I am a people person. I have, as I said, been in the restaurant business all of my life. I love talking with people. I've been getting out and meeting a lot of people. But my passion and purpose in life is nutrition and preventative medicine. So I help people with that all over the country and Canada. And I am grateful that my friend actually talked me into this a few months ago. I had to think real hard whether or not I wanted to do it, and I do, because I like to know what's going on in my community.
Very good. Thank you. Now for Ward 4, Position 1, the incumbent, Mr. Jim Bodenhamer.
Thank you, Heather. Bob stole a little bit of my thunder here. I am also a product of Mountain Home. Born and grew up here, a graduate of Mountain Home High School. A graduate of Arkansas State University, served in the regular Army as an infantry officer, then served in the National Guard, retiring as a captain. Raised my family here. My roots run deep in this community. I worked here for over 40 years as a journalist, at first at the Baxter Bulletin, then at KTLO. Retired here, worked 5 years as a substitute teacher to keep busy, while also volunteering at the library, Hospice of the Ozarks, and the Backpack Program. I'm currently serving as chairman of the City Council Street Committee, as well as a member of the Public Safety and Personnel Committees. As a reporter, you listen to all sides and ask questions. You have to understand what is happening to write about it. I have applied that same principle as a city councilman, listening to all sides and asking questions, then making a decision that is in the best interest of keeping Mountain Home the special place it is.
And the challenger for Ward 4, Position 1, Ms. Michelle Linehan.
I've been a resident of Mountain Home for 19 years now. I moved from California, a place that used to be beautiful and no longer is. You couldn't dynamite me out of here if you tried. I have a bachelor's degree in economics. I have managed my own small business, owned and managed. I also managed another business. I have 25 plus years in mortgage banking. I also spent 8 years in the nonprofit sector, where I managed literally an area that was thousands of square miles. I had 600 plus volunteers. I had to recruit, train, and motivate with no paycheck. It was much easier when I owned my own business. We also had to raise all of the money, not only to support our own programs, but to also support the council and the council-wide programs. So I've handled huge budgets. I've done lots of planning. I have a background in economics, so that makes me well-suited for this. I love our small town, and I would like to see it stay that way.
Very good. We'll start with a question for each of you. Mr. Van Haren, you said you were at the top of the list, so you're right here on my left, so I'll start with you. What do you see as the biggest opportunity for the city of Mountain Home?
The biggest opportunity for the city of Mountain Home is continued growth. We're moving. We're moving forward now. It's something that Mountain Home hadn't done for several years in the past. And so whether that continued growth be with businesses, restaurants, or it be just people moving to the area because we have such a wonderful area here, I just believe that the continued growth will be throughout the community.
Ms. Wolf?
I believe that continued growth is inevitable, and as long as we do it smart and take care of the community first. I have lived in small towns where they grew so much that a lot of second homes came in, and then the people that lived there and worked there could not afford to live there, and they had to live about a half hour, 45 minutes away. So the growth is inevitable. We need to do it smart and take care of our locals first. This happened to my own small town, and it's a shame. And they don't even have a high school there anymore because nobody can afford to live there because everybody has second homes and vacation rentals. So growth is excellent. We just need to be smart about it.
Mr. Bodenhamer.
It's easy to say it's got to be smart, but how you do it. Quality of life issues are very important to how a community runs. Look at Batesville, look at Jonesboro, look at West Plains, look to our west at Harrison, northwest Arkansas. Mountain Home, we've got to continue to evolve forward, moving forward. And it led the state in per capita growth in the 60s and 70s, plateaued out. That was one of the reasons I ran for the city council. And look at the entertainment district. Just look around you right now. This is a prime example of what I love to see in Mountain Home.
Ms. Linehan.
Growth is going to happen whether we want it or not. And I do think we can plan. I think we need to have an idea what we would like to see and what benefits our community as a whole. And I think that comes from the taxpayers with their input, people who are voting in these elections. They elect us and they want us to follow what they want, not what we want. I also think that we have opportunities and we have some challenges. And if you look at the projections from the Census Department, we're not really expected to grow all that much in the next 20 years. So we need to look at what's going to benefit the greater good. Is it the people that live here now? Obviously, we're going to have more people moving in, but we need to come to some kind of balance. And I think that takes planning, and I think we just need a little more planning and a more logical way of approaching things.
I'm going to ask you both a question that we asked earlier for our quorum court members, Mr. Bodenhamer, Ms. Linehan. What specific strategies will you implement to enhance communication and transparency between the City Council and the Mountain Home residents? Can you provide examples of how you would engage with the community to gather feedback on issues that matter to them and ensure their voices are heard in local government decisions? Mr. Bodenhamer, I'll start with you.
First off, I'm in the phone book. I also am, you know, I don't do Facebook like some people do. I'm available, jimkhammer@gmail.com. People have not had a problem getting a hold of me and me getting and replying. I contact people that get a hold of me and respond to their what they want. And they, well, go ahead.
Ms. Linehan?
I heard a lot when I've been out knocking on doors, and it's not always positive about people that are in positions of power getting back to people in the community. I think we need to have town hall meetings so people know what's going on. They can ask questions. We become more approachable. I think we need to get out in the community more. I think that we need to move our meeting times to times when people can attend. That is not during the middle of the day. That's not at 5 o'clock. People need to know what's going on. They need to be able to contact us. They need to be able to give us their opinions. And we need to listen. I think that's really important. Transparency has become kind of a buzzword, but I think as public officials, it's our job to make sure that the public is informed.
For Mr. Van Haren and Ms. Wolf, what strategies do you propose to stimulate economic development and job creation in Mountain Home? Ms. Wolf, I'll start with you.
Well, that's a good question. And since we just learned that, means that's a broad answer there. Education of our youth is very important, so they know how to actually get into the job market. I'm a big fan of the college. They have the trade schools there. I think that that's very, very important. If you learn something that no matter what the economy, you still need the plumber, the electrician, the contractor. So we're very fortunate to have the university here. And so education is key for economic growth. So train those young people and make sure, as we talked about, that they all have a place to live too.
Mr. Van Haren.
Well, with economic development, I mean, we have established now in the area an economic development committee. I am not a professional at economic development, nor do I believe many of the folks that are on council are. So we're leaning on their expertise as well. And so when we get together, they feed us what information they have, and then we carry it back. Now, a lot of that has been out in the public. A lot of it's going out in the public. A lot of them, people have been misinformed exactly on what that is as well. There are other subjects that have been misinformed as well. But I want to get out there with the people shoulder to shoulder, get in these committees, talk to these folks, and bring what's best for Mountain Home.
This question is for each of you. What is your long-term vision for Mountain Home, and how do you plan to achieve it over the next few years? Ms. Linehan, I'll start with you.
I would like to see us grow and still maintain our small-town feel. We have a great community. We have great people who live here. We've got a lot of things that go on. And I see it improving continually. I love what's happening with the parks. I love what's happening with the entertainment district. I would like to see that continue. But I also want us to support the people who live here now. So I think, obviously, we do need housing, and that's a big project. After 25 years in mortgage banking, I have a pretty good handle on that. But I would like to see continued growth, but keeping our small town flavor, because I think that is one of the best things we have going for us.
Mr. Bodenhamer?
Yeah, a small town flavor is great, but you got to have growth too. So what I always used to say, a double-edged sword. It is. And trying to balance that, I'd like to, there's specifics. Do you have some specifics?
As far as?
How you balance.
You have to take it as it comes. But, yeah, I do have specifics. You need to make sure that we have what our people here need, good roads, good schools, good representation, that they know what's going on, and we have to be planning for the future. How do we keep our kids here? If they don't have a place to go to work after they graduate from high school or college, they're going to leave. They come back frequently, but they are still going to leave. We have to be planning ahead for how that growth is going to look. You can't open a factory with 300 employees with the kind of housing we have right now. There's no place to put them. We have to get more proactive in how we plan and how we want to move forward so that we can benefit not only the people who live here today, but the people who are coming tomorrow. Because if we don't plan, we're not going to get those people coming here.
I think we are planning. I think we're doing a really good job of doing that. We have a proactive mayor, a proactive city council that follows the leadership. And we have, I think we're doing it. And if you just look around, we're doing it responsibly.
Ms. Wolf, I'll go to you. So, what is your long-term vision for Mountain Home, and how do you plan to achieve it if elected?
Well, I like community pride. I'm pretty proud of this town that we moved to. It's very beautiful. I love the people. And I would like to see more involvement with the young folks, with everybody, but young folks too. Let's get them more involved. I have this vision. I would love to, after the municipal meetings, as I call them, like the water, wastewater, parks and recreation, after those meetings, if we could just have a quick little Q&A with the people who've been in them, you know, what did you glean from that? This is what I gleaned from it. And perhaps put it on YouTube or somewhere so the people that can't go to the meetings actually know what's going on. We've been knocking on a lot of doors, my husband and I, and I on the back of my door hanger, I have all the municipal meetings, and most people were completely unaware of them. So I'd like to get more involvement because the people do love this town, but there needs to be more community pride and involvement.
Mr. Van Haren?
Well, you won't find anybody that's more proud of this community than myself, I don't believe. You won't find anybody that's more transparent than myself. I agree, Jim, as well. But, and I mean, I know there's a lot of people that have community pride. And so just to throw community pride out there like it's a beaming light, that's not just the solution there. A few things that I've kind of caught here is, you know, we are 2-year terms, so we can do our best in the 2 years that we are given to serve. I can tell you about taking calls from people. Mentioned that at the beginning. A lot of times I get calls for all the wards in the city. I've talked to people across this city about the things that they're concerned with. I took several calls throughout this new running for election with people with concerns that were things that I'd never heard of, that were not only twists, but bold-faced lies. But my biggest improvement I'd like to see is police and fire, because you approve police and fire, like we are working on right now in our area, then you drop that rating, you save people money on their insurance, that's going to invite more people to come to the area.
For the record, I won the Bomber Spirit Award in school, so just FYI, if anybody wants to go head-to-head in that competition.
No.
I would like to ask a follow-up question, though. I've heard the phrase, we need good schools, mentioned several times here. As city council candidates, would you be in favor of a proposed millage for our school district? Mr. Van Haren, I'll start with you.
I tell you what, I want us to be able to have the best schools we can possibly have. I know there was a lot of controversies before in trying to improve the schools, but if we limit our schools, which I'm not running for a school board position, but if we limit our schools, then we limit our kids. So it's just like when it went to funding the jail. Do you want them on the streets or do you want them in jail? Well, we want our kids in school. We want our kids in a healthy place for school. And so, yes, 100%, I would back funding the schools.
Ms. Wolf?
Well, my understanding, having just jumped in this a few months ago, is that our millage is the same that it's been for a long time. And as long as the schools are being taken care of, yes, and that we know with accuracy what they do and don't need. I'm not a person who likes to waste money. So as long as something is in need for the kids, then 100% I'm behind it. But again, my understanding is that it hasn't changed, and correct me if I'm wrong, Bob, that it's been two? Is that?
The last millage we had was for the construction of Hackler Elementary School.
Okay. So. Yeah.
Mr. Bodenhamer.
To answer your question, yes, but I also want to say, Michelle brought up planning. This city has upgraded police and fire department, approved building upgrades that will take us well into this century. And that's a good part of the public safety tax voters also approved about 10 years ago. Water and sewer plant upgrades are taking place as we speak, with more planned through a bond issue. The citizens also recognize the need for more quality of life issues that are attracting young and old to this area, approved the temporary sales tax for that community center and aquatic center under construction, as well as the quarter cents tax to maintain the parks. We are planning, we are working. Do we want input? You bet, every day.
Okay. Ms. Linehan, the question was about the school millage.
Nobody's a bigger proponent of education than I am. Mm-hmm. However, I have been following the schools, I have been following the budgets. As a matter of fact, I just took a really good look at what the payroll is. And I think before we pass any other millages, we need to hold them responsible for showing that they can give us results. Our kids, our test scores are not great. They could be much better. I think that it's really important that we address those things before we throw money at it, because that is not always the solution.
I'm going to move on, please. This question is for Mr. Bodenhamer and Ms. Linehan. What strategies will you implement to support and promote local businesses, especially our small family-run businesses? Ms. Linehan, I'll start with you.
I owned a small family-run business. I think there's a lot we can do to support them. I think we can work on our advertising. I think we could work on holding workshops. I think the college could be more proactive probably in helping small business development, helping them with budgeting, planning, advertising, how to read spreadsheets. I mean, the one thing that I learned in banking is that most businesses fail because they don't have a good plan and they're underfunded. And I think it's really important that we give that support to our small businesses, because in a place like this, I think our small businesses are our backbone.
Mr. Bodenhamer.
What was your question again on small business?
What strategies will you implement to support and promote local businesses, especially our small...
The city council, the city can... What strategies we can implement? You know, support, like I say, what's going on now. And as far as the at ASU and other places, just be supportive.
Mr. Van Haren, Ms. Wolf, this question is for you. What strategies would you promote for tourism and enhance mountain homes' appeal to visitors?
Well, I've got a great way of that. I actually sat on the advertising and promotion committee as chair, and so we are always actively looking for people that are in need of advertising and promotion for special events. Oktoberfest that just happened last weekend, we promoted with that, gave them funding to help promote that, which also helped the Backpack program. Working on a big mural that's going to help push the Baker District as a whole through advertising and promotion. So if I'm reelected, I plan on staying on advertising and promotion if selected by the council. And if I am, I look forward to remaining as chair to help push that.
Ms. Wolf.
Well, yeah, I do believe that the small businesses are the backbone of this community. And I also have had small businesses in small towns. And you definitely want to get the word out. We have to use those social media platforms to get the word out. If you take care of the people who own the businesses and make sure that they have what they need and have the education that they need to grow and help them with the advertising and kind of the saying, build it and they will come, keep them healthy. I love shopping locally. That is one of the reasons why we moved here, was because of your farmers the ranchers. That is actually how we picked Mountain Home. I Googled Ozarks, Arkansas, and Farmers Market, and that's how we ended up here. So I am all about supporting the young, the small businesses.
This question is for each of you. Ms. Lanahan, I'll start at the end of the table again this time. Earlier this year, the council approved spending $40,000 on economic development contract with the newly formed North Central Arkansas Economic Alliance. Do you think this was a good investment by the city, and why?
No. $40,000 is the drop into the bucket as far as economic development goes. A professional economic developer is a very highly trained, highly paid person. They know how to go after the big fish. They know what our strengths and weaknesses are. Rick at the Quorum Court was talking about doing a SWOT analysis. We haven't done that. I don't know that we're specific about what exactly we want, what we need, what our strengths are, what our weaknesses are, how to go about achieving that. And I think those metrics need to be in place before you start spending money. I mean, when you're looking at a budget, you want to get the most bang for your buck. So I would like to see professional economic development. I really think that the city and county should work together, and I think they should have a plan. And until that takes place, I'm not big at just throwing money.
Mr. Bodenhamer?
I wouldn't say how much money would for an economic development plan would you support? What do we need? What's a bigger budget?
In reality, an economic developer is probably going to make between $80,000 and $120,000 a year.
A year ago, the council, there was a proposal to come before the council to begin this process. A number of people opposed this. And then we came back 6-8 months ago and approved for this. And we get monthly report. I think we're on the right track with what we're doing.
Ms. Wolf.
So I take it this money has already been spent, correct? Okay. And I have to admit that I have not seen these plans for everything for that $40,000, so it wouldn't be proper for me to give my opinion on it, but plans first are always necessary before you spend the money. That would be my opinion. I have not seen all these plans for this $40,000, so I apologize for not being able to properly answer that.
Mr. Van Haren.
Long story short is you have to start somewhere. If you don't take a step forward, you're just going to get pushed back. When you say $40,000 is a drop in the bucket, I mean, $40,000 to me is a lot of money. It's our taxpayers' money, but we have to make that investment, which starts off small, and hopefully they'll come back with results that will be able to go big and even justify more. Because the whole thing is, if you don't give something to get it started, if you don't have that spark, you're not going to get a flame. So economic development, it's going to be a struggle in this area. We can't control the distance that we are from main arteries and main highways. So that's going to be our biggest leap right there. But if we don't start with something, we'll end up with nothing or even less.
Can I redirect?
Maybe.
Maybe not. I hate to sound trite, but if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. I think you need to have a well laid out plan with metrics in place before you start spending money on something.
There was definitely a plan in motion, or we wouldn't have put that money to it at all. You're acting like we just went out in the street and threw money out at the sky and said, maybe it'll rain. Well, that's not the case. They've been fighting for this. We've been fighting for this. You want a better Mountain Home, that's going to be part of it.
Amen.
Let's stay on the, if we can keep that down, let's stay on the lines of economic development. This is another question that came to us. Ms. Wolf, I'll start with you this time. What does economic development mean to you, and how does it matter to the city of Mountain Home?
Economic development sounds like finances growing, and that makes the community financially healthy. That's what economic development means to me.
Mr. Bodenhamer.
It means that businesses are growing, we're attracting industry, but pushing and keeping this, sales tax is such a, and you know, Mountain Home has the lowest millage in the state, one of the lowest, if not the lowest. But we continue to we've got to spur, and it's easy to say plan. Yeah, it's easy to plan. It's not easy to plan. We just got to keep, as Bob says, starting small and keep building on what we've got. And believe me, in the last 3 or 4 years, we have started that process. This mayor, this city council, these department heads, these city employees that have stood and come forward, we're headed there. You just keep the plan going.
Ms. Linehan.
Economic development is growth on all levels. It's not just the small businesses, it's the bigger businesses. It's what we need to keep them healthy, to keep the community healthy, to keep the area healthy. It's helping all of them. It's not only the people that are here now, but the growth that we would like to see coming in the future.
Mr. Van Haren.
Obviously, we're going to beat this economic development status right into the ground for every other question, but the thing is, I can't continue to repeat everything that I've said through this. I don't have a whole lot of notes. I don't have a whole lot of tacks. I definitely don't have a lot of big words or a lot of big matrix, but I can tell you that I'm listening to the people of this area about economic development and what they're looking for. People want to see growth at a pace. They don't want us just to blow up. They don't want us to be another Fayetteville. They don't want us necessarily to even be another Jonesboro, but they want to continue to move forward. And like Ms. Linehan said, it is. It's going to cause the big box stores to grow, but it's also going to cause the little stores to grow. But that's up to us as a community on who we want to support the most. You make your choice. I buy local.
For the two challengers, Ms. Linehan and Ms. Wolf, how have you prepared for your possible election to the Mountain Home City Council? Ms. Wolf?
Yes. Well, I started going to all the little meetings, all the municipal meetings, the city council meetings, and talking to people. A year ago, my husband and I went to a couple city council meetings, but I didn't understand what was going on because I didn't know you had to go to the, I call them the municipal meetings. Is that correct, Jim?
The committee meetings.
Thank you. and that's how I started preparing is going to, now they have a whole new meaning for me. And it's been, actually, I'm having a lot of fun knocking on the doors and meeting people. 98% of the time, it's incredibly positive, and the people out there do have a lot of great ideas, so I would like to get them more involved. And as I said, most of them didn't know about the committee meetings, so I'm glad I put that on my door hanger.
Ms. Linehan?
I started attending city council meetings and quorum court meetings probably pretty close to 2 years ago. I realized after I had sat there quite a few months that I just didn't feel like I had the whole story. So then I started going to all the committee meetings for the city council because that's where I thought I needed my focus to be. And I have gone to some of the economic development meetings at Quorum Court. I think that a lot of things happen in those meetings that people are not aware of. And when I started attending those meetings, I saw things that I wasn't totally 100% happy with, and I really wanted to be able to be the change that I wanted to see in the community.
This question is for our two incumbents. What specific actions would you propose to support vulnerable populations in Baxter County, including low-income families, the elderly, those facing mental health challenges? How will you ensure that their needs are considered in policy decision and resource allocation? Mr. Bodenhamer, I'll start with you. Do you want me to read it again?
How would we support?
Mm-hmm. How would you propose to support vulnerable populations in Baxter County, including low-income family? I said Baxter County. I meant the city of Mountain Home. Forgive me. Low-income families, the elderly, and those facing mental health challenges. How will you ensure their needs are considered in policy decisions and resource allocation?
You know, I think we're doing a pretty good job right now as far as assisting everything from the Salvation Army to the food bank. The food bank is a primary one that I would. Our support for the food bank, the farmers market, there's the avenues that some of the avenues immediately come to my mind that the city is doing.
Mr. Van Haren.
To add along to Jim's list that he had there, one of the big things we did was transportation funding for NATS to allow the people to be able to get to and from to their medical appointments, get their prescriptions and things that they're needed. So that is now no cost due to this council. Another big thing that we do is the recycle center. We've been supporting the recycle center. We actually cut them a sizable check to try to help keep them operating. And not only does that help the community at the recycle center, but it helps some of our mentally disabled folks that are able to go in, have a job, be able to work, and feel like they've got a purpose in their life. So those are just two on right off cuff that I can tell you about. And we haven't not listened to anybody that has come to our council meetings that had concerns, whether it be for the elderly and the transportation, before the mentally challenged. So, you know, our council doors are open. I know our numbers are available. And if folks know of something that we are missing out on that we could possibly look at helping the city support, then our door is open.
I have another question for the two challengers. Part of the city's sales tax is designated for the new community and aquatic center. About every month, sales tax collected exceeds the amount necessary for the loan payment. Where or how is the excess tax receipts allocated? It's a hard question for challengers. Ms. Linehan?
You know, I don't know how they're allocating that now, but I, having been so familiar with construction, I would say that before anything is changed with that, we probably need to get the project done. You know, there's always overages when you have construction, so, you know, I don't know that I would adjust that sales tax too early, but after it's completed, if we're still having overages, then I think it needs to be lowered.
Ms. Wolf?
I would have to agree with that, that to keep it for the project that the tax was implemented for. And because, yeah, wait until it's paid off first. Isn't that would be smart business sense, is to get that big bill paid off first before we start allocating it the extra to other places. And as soon as it's paid for, let's take that tax back down. I talk to a lot of people that go to Missouri because their taxes are lower. So let's not let those people go to Missouri. Let's keep that money here.
I would just like to add some clarity to that question. First of all, once the construction is completed and the bond is paid off, that extra money that's been allocated, that's been collected, actually sets back to pay that bond off earlier. So the thing is we're actually, the money we're collecting now will ensure that we'll be able to pay that bond off and earlier. So with the community center, also the aquatic center, that's where that goes. Now, the current taxes that are collected now for operations, they're going to end up being used once the operations are in effect. So we'll have that source of income to be able to staff it and keep it going once it's done. But just to be clear, that extra money that is collected is going to allow us to pay it off early. And once it's paid off, that tax falls off.
There are two taxes. The half-cent sales tax is for the construction and the building, and the quarter-cent sales tax is for operations and maintenance.
Correct.
And the half-cent will cease when the construction is completed. The quarter-cent does not sunset and will continue on for operation and maintenance, plus parks.
All parks. Yeah, it's not just the community center or the aquatic center that are together, and that's why you're seeing things improving around the city in the parks department, because it wasn't just based on that. It was based on all the parks. That's why our ball fields are looking better. That's why a lot of things are improving throughout the area while the construction is still going on.
And I want to thank the taxpayers for stepping up on that. That was when we were my first council meeting on the budget, we couldn't hardly lawnmowers. We were having to find used lawnmowers to keep the grass mowed at the parks. The mayor has made it a priority, and you look around and the parks committee, it is really unbelievable what has changed in just 3 or 4 years.
We're nearing the top of the hour, so I'd like to go ahead and move to closing statements, if I might. We'll start at the head of the table once again with Ward 1, Position 1, the incumbent, Mr. Bob Van Haren. 1 minute for a closing statement, sir.
All right, I'm going to get this out quick. I just want to thank everybody again for being here. I want to thank those folks out there that have supported me in the past, and I want your support for the future of Mountain Home. I sit on the Public Safety Committee, Water and Sewer, where I'm also chair, Advertising and Promotion chair. I am a lifelong resident of Mountain Home. I've been married to my wife, Liz, for over 25 years. You'll find me at Real Life Church serving in our youth and volunteering. I'm also a 12-year-plus student mentor at the Mountain Home High School. I'm a good communicator, an active listener, and I'll continue to work for the growth of Mountain Home, whether it be economic development, supporting those in need, however we need to do it. I'm ready to continue to invest the time to help improve the city and make a positive change to continue. And I just want to remind everybody, too, this is a nonpartisan position. I'm here to represent all citizens of Mountain Home, regardless of party affiliation. So no matter what you heard, no matter what you've been told, I am here for the whole city of Mountain Home, and I'm going to use every second of that minute.
Ward 1, Position 1, challenger, Ms. Paige Wolf.
Like you said, thank you very much. We all appreciate the opportunity to speak here. And I would absolutely like to be that conduit for the locals to get them more involved. And so they know what's going on at all the meetings, so they're all well informed, and we can bring all those great ideas that I'm hearing out there, that when I'm knocking on the doors, bring them to the town meetings. And keep everything just transparent, because it's not possible to make the best quality decision unless you have all the facts first, and then you decide on what is best for the community. So it shouldn't be rocket science. I'm excited and grateful for my friend Phyllis for suggesting I do this, and my intuition keeps telling me that I'm doing the right thing. And thank you very much for this opportunity.
Ward 4, Position 1, incumbent, Mr. Jim Bodenhamer.
Thank you, Heather. There's an old saying that a person may not be the sharpest knife in a drawer, a polite way of questioning a person's intellect. Well, I may fall into that category based on IQ, but I've always subscribed to trying to apply common sense, as I said in my opening of the forum. As a reporter for over 40 years, you have to listen to people. I do. I guarantee that's one of the attributes I adhered to as a journalist and a city councilman. The other attribute is asking questions, especially if you don't understand. We currently have a good, open-minded city council, a very progressive mayor, proactive city clerk, along with a veteran city attorney, excellent department heads and employees. We have addressed a number of issues and face more. We do it without political rancor. You often see and hear, I am accessible, I listen, I would appreciate your vote. Thank you.
Ward 4, Position 1, challenger, Ms. Michelle Linehan.
Thank you for letting us come and speak to you tonight. I hope I can count on your vote. I think that transparency is crucial, and I just feel like we're just not quite there yet. I also think that change is good. I think new ideas are good. I would like to see some term limits on a city and county level. I don't think that people sitting in the same seat for years and years is necessarily the best thing for the community, because I think a lot of people have good ideas. I think a lot of people want to give those good ideas, but I think too many times they feel like they're not invited to. So if I'm elected, I fully anticipate speaking to everyone, regardless of what ward they're in or whether they're in the city or the county. My phone number's out there everywhere. You can ask practically any realtor, and they probably have it. And I really want to be a voice for the people.
Thank you all very much. I'd like to note our election coordinator, Lindsay Roberts, has texted me during this and said that she was listening and she's sorry she couldn't make it tonight. If anyone has any questions, they can call her. She gave me her cell phone number. I'm not going to give that out over the radio, but if anyone in attendance tonight would like that, we can certainly get that for you as well. And of course, you can always find her at the courthouse. As we wrap up tonight, I'd like to take a moment to express our gratitude to our sponsors, H&R Block, Raps Baron Brewery, for their generous support in making this event possible. Thank you to the candidates for getting a little bit outside of their comfort zone and participating in tonight's forum. Most importantly, to our voters, thank you to everyone who attended here tonight and to those who tuned in from at home. Your engagement is vital to our democratic process. We encourage you to stay informed and make your voices heard in our upcoming election. Please remember to check ktlo.com/electioncentral for all your voter guide information and take time to review your ballot and look at the three ballot issues that are currently on there. There may just be two by Election Day. We'll see how all that turns out. Early voting starts October 21st at First United Methodist Church. That is different this year. Please remember, there will be no early voting at the courthouse, always at the First Methodist Church. Election Day is Tuesday, November 5th. This is Heather Loftus for KTLO Classic Hits at the Boot. We will see you at the polls.